Hilchas Reitzeach Ushmiras Nefesh, Laws of Homicide and Laws for the Preservation of Life, Chapter 11. This chapter contains 16 halachas. The subject matter of this chapter deals with the mitzvah of constructing a guardrail around one's roof and the prohibition of failing to do so, and also other laws for the avoidance of hazards to health and safety. Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh L'Hasis Odom Makel L'Gagoy. It's a positive mitzvah for a person to construct a guardrail around his roof. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'Yosisa Makel L'Gagecho, you shall make a guardrail around your roof. V'Hu Sheyia Beis Dira. This only applies if the house with the roof is a house made for dwelling. If people dwell in this house, then there is a requirement to construct a guardrail around the roof. But a building that's used strictly for storage, or a barn, a place that's used for animals to live in, but not for people, or any similar type building, which is not a human dwelling, he is not required to make any construction on the roof. Similarly, any building, any house that does not contain the minimum dimensions of 4 cubits by 4 cubits, this is not required to have a guardrail around the roof, because such a small house is not fitting as a dwelling place for human beings. Halacha beis, bayis shel shnei shutvim chayovim b'ma'ake, a house which belongs to two people, there are two partners own the house, such a house nevertheless its owners are required to construct the guardrail around it, even though in Halacha Aleph we brought the pasuk, the asisa makel gagecha, you shall make, it's a singular, a guardrail around your roof, saying your roof in the Hebrew singular, ligagecha, apparently meaning that only if there's a single owner is he required to do so. Nonetheless, the Rambam states here that the law is that even two people who are partners in the house, if the house has these requirements, it is requiring a guardrail around the roof. Shenemar, because the pasuk further says, Ki yipoil hanoifel mimenu, you have to put the guardrail there lest someone will fall down from it. Loitolo ela banoifel. The requirement is, in any case, if it's possible for someone to fall down from a house that's a dwelling place, it's required to have a guardrail around the roof, regardless of who are the owners. If so, if the law is anyway that it requires a guardrail, why does the pasuk say gagecha in the singular, your roof? This means it has to have private owners, even though the private owners are more than one. It excludes public property. It excludes Bote Knesias, shuls, and or a Beis HaMedrash, which are not private at all, they are fully public property, they do not require a guardrail around the roof, Lafisha Eina Masuyim Ledira, because these are not made for dwelling there, they're made for public use, for study and prayer. If someone's house was not built above the level of the public street, but it was built down below, to the extent that the public street was higher than his roof, so now the danger is not that someone will fall off his roof down into the street, but that someone will fall from the street down onto his roof. In such a case, he is not required to construct a guardrail to prevent this. Apparently, the public is required to construct such a rail. The owner of the house does not have to do so. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Ki yipoil hanoifel mimenu, lest one will fall from it. That means he has to construct a guardrail to prevent falling from the roof, veloy leteichai, but not to prevent people from falling onto the roof. Halacha Gimel, Goyva Hamake, the height of this guardrail, Ein Pochus Mi'asaret Tfachim, is to be no less than 10 handbreadths, Kedei Shelo Yipol Mimenu Hanefel, because this is the amount required to prevent someone from falling off the roof. V'tzarech Liyos Mechitza Chazoke, and the partition used as the guardrail has to be strong enough, Kedei Sheishoyin Adam Aleha Veloy Sipoil, in order that someone will be able to lean on it, even if a human being leans on it, Veloy Sipoil, it will withstand this weight and it will not fall over. V'chol Haminiyav Gagay Veloy Makeh, anyone who leaves his roof without a guardrail around it, Bitul Mitzvah Saseh, he has failed to fill this positive mitzvah of constructing the guardrail, the over aloisasa, and he has also transgressed a negative mitzvah shenemar, because the pasuk says further, veloisosim domim bebeisecho, you shall not bring blood upon your house. That means you shall not, as a negative commandment, have anything that poses a hazard. Ve'eloikin alav zeh, however, for transgressing this law, this negative mitzvah, no malchus is given as a punishment, because the transgression does not involve any deed. Just the opposite, it is failure to act that has transgressed the negative mitzvah. Even though the pasuk specifies a guardrail around the roof, the law equally requires safety measures for the roof or for any other thing that involves a danger. Something that can possibly cause injury, damage, or harm to a human being, and can bring about his death. For example, if one had a well or a pit in his courtyard, regardless of whether this well or pit contained water or didn't contain water, he is required to make some high obstacle that has the minimum height of 10 hand breadths around it, or to make a cover for it, in order to prevent a person's falling in there and dying. And so any obstacle that poses danger to life, mitzvah, it is a positive mitzvah to remove this, and to protect oneself and the public from this, and to be extremely cautious in these matters of keeping away hazards to health and safety. Shanema, because the pasuk says, Yishomer lecha, be careful for yourself, ushmar nafshecha, and take great care of your soul. This means that one has to be very, very careful in removing hazards to life. If he did not remove them, but he left the obstacles there, which could possibly bring danger, bitul mitzvah saseh, he has failed to fulfill the positive mitzvah, v'yovar b'loisosim domim, and he has transgressed the negative mitzvah of you shall not bring blood upon your house. There are many other things, even though these are not obstacles or places where one might fall, nevertheless, the sages have forbid this because they involve danger to life. And anyone who transgresses these suggestions of the sages, the Oimer, and he claims, I am willing to undergo the hazard, umala achedim olai bekach, and whose business is this, what I do, by any makbit bekach, or he says, I am not particular about it, I am not frightened of these hazards, since he has transgressed the requirements of the sages, makinoi se makas mardas, as a rabbinical requirement, he is to be beaten with malchus. Halacha vav, ve'eluhem, and these are the hazards which are forbidden by the sages. Lo yaniach adam piv al hasiloin hamekaleach ve'yishke, a person may not put his mouth upon a culvert, that's a pipe that carries water along the ground from its source to the place where the water is needed. He shall not put his mouth on the end of the pipe, ve'yishke, and drink. Velo yishte balaylo, nor shall he drink from a natural source during the night, min anaharis, from a river, umin hoagamim, or standing water, such as a lake or a swamp. Shema yivla aluka, all these prohibitions are because, since he does not see what he's drinking, he may swallow a leech which causes a hazard to life, and he doesn't see that he's drinking a leech. Nor shall he drink water that has stood uncovered. Perhaps a serpent, a poisonous snake, has drunk from this water previously, or some similar poisonous creature that crawls upon the ground, the Yomus said if he drinks it and the venom is in the water, he will die. Halacha Zayin, the Eluhei Mamashkin who Asura Mishum Gilui. Not only water, but all the following liquids are forbidden to be drunk if they have stood uncovered. Hamayim, Wayin, Hamayim is water, Vahayayin, and wine, vafilu mazuk, even diluted wine, vafilu hischil tamei lishtanis lachoymet, and even if it's no longer really good wine, its taste has begun to turn sour, it's begun to turn into vinegar, nevertheless, since it's not fully vinegar, it's still wine, and it's forbidden. The hecholov, and milk, vahadvash, and honey, vahatsir, and juice from fish, but any other liquids, we are not particular on them, even though they have stood uncovered, because venomous, poisonous creatures do not drink other liquids. If garlic was sliced apart and it's standing uncovered, or a melon that was sliced open, and it stands uncovered, also it's forbidden, because these are considered like the forbidden liquids, or any similar fruit or vegetable which when it's cut open, liquid gathers at the point of the cut. Yayin mevushel, wine that was boiled, the yayin toises, or wine that's beginning to ferment and it's bubbling very strongly, ein bohem mishum gilui. The prohibition of drinking them after they're uncovered, it does not apply. The toises, what do we mean by wine that begins to ferment? Hu hayayin mishas derichosei ad shloisha yomim. That's wine after its crushing for the first 3 days. V'yayin oimayim oicholov, and wine or water or milk shehoyu chamin, if they were hot. Kozman shehevel oila mehem, so long as steam still comes up from them. V'chein mashkev shehoya mashke yorid melmaila leteichen, or any other liquid in which some liquid was dripping from above into this standing liquid, tipach at tipach, if it was continuously dripping, drop after drop, v'hushayia toided v'yoided, if it falls down with some force so that it makes a splash, kol elu ein bahem mishum gilui. All of these cases that we mentioned in this halacha, the laws prohibiting drinking uncovered liquids do not apply. She'zoich le'ofa misyorim mibabua hamashke, because poisonous creatures that crawl on the ground will not drink from such liquids, since they are frightened from the bubbling or the splashing, or from the steam that arises, and they will not drink from such a liquid. Halochetes, make vashim, a brine in which some fruit or vegetable was pickled, umeshlokis, or water in which vegetables were boiled, umeitormusim, or water in which they soaked or cooked turmusim, these are bitter beans, these do not have the prohibition of uncovered liquids, because the creatures will not drink from them. Mayim shashara bahem kvashim, water in which pickles were soaked, ushlokis, or boiled vegetables were soaked, v'turmusim, or the bitter beans were soaked in mishtanet haimam, even though what was soaked in them had already previously been pickled or boiled, nevertheless, if it changed the taste of the liquid that it's now being soaked in, ein bahem mishum gilui, the laws of uncovered liquids do not apply. V'imein bahem neisein tam, if, however, the thing that was soaked in it did not change its taste, asurim, it's forbidden. V'chein mayim sheidiach bahem prishim, v'darmuskim, water in which prishim and darmuskim was boiled, prishim and darbuskim are certain fruits that grow on a tree. Prishim is one kind of fruit. Darmuskim is a fruit that comes from Damascus. Such fruits give a bitter taste to the liquid, and ordinarily we would think that therefore the prohibition does not apply. Nevertheless, these are so bitter that they're not drunk by ordinary people. Lechoyle, it was soaked here or washed in for a... in this liquid, so as a medicine for a sick person to drink. And in such a case, since he's preparing it for a sick person, he does not soak it or boil it at great length. He does it only briefly because he's in a hurry to get the medicine to the patient. And therefore, asur mishum gilui, they do not absorb, the water does not absorb enough of the taste, and it's forbidden if it's stood uncovered. Halacha yud, yayin shenischaber by dvarim chadim, wine in which there was mixed some sharply flavored or sharply scented foods, kepilpulin, such as pepper, this is black pepper, or dvarim marim, or bitter things. Kafsantin. Afsantin is a root that's very bitter. Achenishtana taimam, if the flavor of the wine was changed because of what was mixed with it, ein bei misham gilui, then the prohibition of uncovered liquids does not apply. V'hu adin bishar mashkim, and so also other liquids other than wine, if these things were soaked in it sufficiently to change the taste. Halacha yud aleph, kol hamashkim ho ashur misham gilui shenizgalu, any liquids that it is forbidden to drink if they were uncovered, shenizgalu, if they stood uncovered, bein bayoyim, bein balayla, regardless of whether they were uncovered by day time or by night time, asurim, it's forbidden to drink them. Ba'afilu hoya betzidam odam yoshin, and even if a person was sleeping next to the uncovered liquids, this does not permit it, because ein emas yoshin al hazeichlim, because the crawling creatures are not frightened by a sleeping person. How long do the uncovered liquids have to stand uncovered in order to become forbidden? Long enough that a rachash is a small poisonous worm. It's very small, and it hides in the cracks under the ear of a utensil. The ear is the handle of a utensil. It hides in the crack under there. And the person will not notice it. Long enough for such a creature to crawl out from its hiding place, v'yishta, and drink, v'yagzalim koimoy, and return to its place where it's hidden, and a person wouldn't see it. Halacha yud beis, shir hamayim, sheyosru in this galu, what is the amount of water that, if it stands uncovered, becomes forbidden? Kedei sheyia hasam nikar b'hem amazik. It has to be not too large an amount. It has to be an amount that is still sufficiently small that the poison deposited by this crawling creature will still be potent in it and is capable of causing danger. Avlim hoyu hamayim merubim, if however there was a great quantity of water, kedei shetevet bahem hamara, so that the venom becomes diluted within it so greatly that it no longer can cause harm, ha'ereilu mutarim, then such a great quantity of water is permitted. Bein bekelim, regardless of whether this great quantity of water is contained in some container or it's contained in a hole in the ground. And so the same law applies to other liquids. If they are in sufficient quantity that they can dilute the venom so that it becomes harmless, they are not forbidden. Halacha yud gimel, mayin hameshach kol shehu, a living spring of water that is flowing even slowly, ein bei mishum gilui, there is no prohibition even when it's uncovered. Login migula, an uncovered pitcher, shehinichai b'sheda tevo migdel, the pitcher itself did not have a cover directly on it, but it was put in a closed place, b'sheda tevo migdel, in a chest or in a box or in a closet, oy b'tikshaloi, or it was put into its own container, that is, the container had a special covering made for it that did not cover the opening of the container directly. It was made to hold the container. Or it was lowered into a well, afilu omik me'ama, even if the well was very deep, it was even 100 cubits deep. Or b'migdel gavoya me'ama, or it was in a closet that was 100 cubits tall. Or b'traklin me'upel me'usad, or in a hallway that was plastered and smooth, so that in such a place there's no hiding place for these poisonous creatures. Nevertheless, hareze osur, it's forbidden to drink it because we still are afraid that there was some creature that got in there. Bodak es hateva, if he previously examined the chest, oyas hamigdal, or the closet, and afterwards he put the water there after he had thoroughly inspected it and seen that there were no such creatures there, then it's permitted. If there was a hole in the side of it, then it's forbidden, even if he had previously inspected it. How wide, how big should this hole be? After all, there are microscopic holes in any building material. How big does this hole have to be in order for what, for liquid left inside to be prohibited? If it's big enough that a baby can put his small finger in, then the liquids that are kept in a utensil inside there are forbidden. Halacha Yudalit, Chavis Shen Hizgalsa, a barrel full of some liquid that was left uncovered, Afa Pisha Shasu Mimenu Tisha Veloy Mesu, even though afterwards 9 people transgressed this and they drank it and nothing happened to them, they didn't die, Lo Yishta Asiri, this does not prove that it's not poisonous, and the 10th person is still forbidden to drink from it. Masa Hoya, it once happened in such a way, Ve'omru Shas, and we are told that the 10th person drank after 9 people drank without harm, the 10th person drank it vameis and he died. Because the venom of the snake that had previously drunk there sunk to the bottom. And indeed, this is the natural way. There are certain poisonous venoms of creatures that crawl on the ground, which venom has the nature of going up and floating on top. There are certain other venoms that fall down halfway and float in the middle layers of the liquid, and some of it, of course, falls down to the bottom and sinks. Therefore, the entire barrel is forbidden. And even if he strained the contents of the barrel with a strainer, this does not help, because the liquid that was deposited in it may be dissolved among it, and it's so fine that it will go through the strainer just as the wine went through the strainer. And so also a melon that was cut open and left uncovered, even if 9 people ate from it and did not die, the 10th person shall also not eat from it, because the melon, the flesh of a melon is soft, and it's also possible here that the poison sank down into it. Halacha tezvav, mayim shen isgalu, water that had been left uncovered, now it's forbidden to drink them. Vayishpachem l'shus harabim, he may not pour it out into the public place. Velo yirabitz b'hem es habayis, nor may he wet the floor of the house with it. In the olden days, before they had the solid paving on the floors were made of hard-pressed earth, and when the floor dried out, the dust would arise from it, so they used to sprinkle liquid on the floor to keep the dust from rising. So one may not sprinkle the floor with such water that had previously been uncovered, nor may one mix mud or clay out of it for construction purposes, nor may he wash with such water his face, his hands, or his feet, nor may he give his animal or his neighbor's animal this water to drink, but he may give them to drink to a cat, because even these liquids remain hazardous to cattle, but not to cats. Cats are not killed by drinking the venom of poisonous snakes or other creatures. The reason that the water may not be poured out is that somebody may be walking barefoot there and he may have a cut on his foot, and the water will wash over the cut and the poison will enter into the cut and cause a hazard. Halochet ha-zayin, isa shaniloisha b'mayim megulim, dough that had been kneaded with water that had previously stood uncovered, afilu hishal teruma, even if the dough is through, contains a flour of truma, and truma, it's forbidden to burn it or to damage it unless it became tameh. Here it has not become tameh. Nevertheless, tisarev, it is to be burned so that no one will be put into the danger of eating this. And because there's a danger to life here, we permit the burning of the truma even though it's not tameh. Vafilu nefes, and even if It has, the dough has already been baked into bread. Hapas asura, the bread is forbidden to be eaten because we are afraid that the heat of the oven may not have destroyed the venom and the bread is still poisonous.